düşecek.
By loving and understanding animals, perhaps we human beings shall come to understand each other. Now, Alan, could you tell us what those animals were?
Donkeys.
Oh, they were kind of gasping. Welcome to Animal Voices, the weekly show that strives to increase compassion for all animals. This program is presented through the cooperative efforts of three local societies: Earth Save Canada, Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection, and the Vancouver Humane Society. Ideas expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the three organizations. In the studio today is John Pranger, a co-host, and Alan Jensen, our technician, and I'm Marge Adams. During the next hour, we will be hearing from a number of guests. The first one will be Leslie Fox of the Vancouver Humane Society, and she will be telling us about an auction in support of The Power of One, which is an animal education project which Leslie has been working on for some time. Secondly, we'll be talking to Jane Olson of Coalition for No Whales in Captivity regarding an upcoming event at the Vancouver Aquarium. And in the second half of the show, we'll have John Pranger, co-host, who will be speaking with Laura Jen, a representative of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. More than 150 people have died as a result of police taser use. Animal experiments prove tasers to be safe, claim the police. PETA has documentary evidence to the contrary, and the interview will concern that topic. Interspersed with these discussions will be music and songs written and performed by Dana Lyons, an entertainer best known for his animal liberation song, Cows with Guns. So let's start the program rolling with Dana Lyons and his song, Wild Happy Ride. Oh, Alan, we'll just be a moment here. Maybe while Alan is gearing that up, I could tell you about an event coming up on Saturday, and that one is presented as part of a program by the City of Vancouver to train, animal owners, dog owners, to be responsible for their companions, and that event will be on Saturday, the 17th of June, at Trout Lake as part of Dog Day Afternoon Festivities, an annual community fair which is dedicated to canine companions and the humans who love them. The dogs are also welcome, and they'll need to be on a leash, however, but they would be welcome at the event, and I'll just tell you what the event will be. Involve. The opening ceremony will be followed by a walk of honor around Trout Lake to pay tribute to working dogs killed in the line of duty. I guess we can all think of one. At least it was killed in police duty not very long ago. And other activities planned for Saturday until 3 p.m. include dog training and agility course demonstrations and canine first aid. There's also a book I'd like to mention called Basic Obedience for Dogs, which will be available at the City Hall at the Vancouver Animal Shelter on at 1280 Raymer Avenue. It does cost money, however. It's $5.70, but it's a valuable book if you're involved with training your dog. Our telephone number for that is 604-871-6888. 871-6888. So that's an important event for dog lovers tomorrow at Trout Lake. Now, Alan?
I don't have the CD with the song on it. I don't have time now to do that. So I'm going to play another Daniel Lyons. I have his CD, Cows with Guns, the one with that famous song on it. But I'm going to play a cut from that CD called RV. And everything by Daniel Lyons is good. So you'll like this one also.
Across the USA, taking in the land, wider than a Cadillac, longer than a van. Capacity 16 children, 4 tubes of old toothpaste, 3 tanks for the gasoline, 2 tanks for the waste, RV. RV. Mom and Dad in the front seat, country on the radio, Tim and Jim at the table, rock on the stereo, Sue and Lou in the back room, trumpet and clarinet, Sissy's still in the bathroom, Junior's pants are wet, RV. RV. The modern cowhands riding velvet saddles. On horses made of fiberglass they fly. Air-conditioned covered wagons cross the prairie. The pioneering spirit never dies. RV. RV. Tenters watch with wonder, the bikers are afraid, the rangers take their aspirin, the animals run away, the truckers see a roadblock, the wagons see a wall, the compacts see a mountain, the horses see a stall, RV. RV. From Jersey to Miami without stopping. From Texas to Alaska in one day. The stories of these heroes are astounding. The tickets and the tolls they had to pay. RV. RV. So if you're out there cruising on a U.S. interstate and you see that great white wonder, please make no mistake. On the road there is no justice. Might always makes right. The suburban yacht is the king of the road, so you better get that right, RV. RV.
Get along there! Get along there! Whoa! Easy, girl.
Okay, thank you. Now we have Leslie Fox on the line. Hello, Leslie.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. We're delighted to have you. Leslie has been working on very hard on an education program for the Vancouver Humane Society. And Leslie, we'd like to have you remind us about the program you're now working on and tell us about the event you have coming up, please.
Great. Thank you, Marge. Well, back in February, the Vancouver Humane Society launched a humane education program called Power of One. And the program works to encourage young people to think about how our choices impact other people, the environment, and animals. So it's a great opportunity to, you know, encourage critical thinking and combine lively classroom activities with short videos and visual aids just to help students make better and more compassionate choices.
And tell them the implications of those choices in some depth, I'm sure.
Definitely. Actually, we just wrapped up a day-long presentation to Langley Secondary School. We had four presentations throughout the day from 8 o'clock in the morning till the end of school, which was around 3 o'clock. And students examined three different topics in our presentations. The first component was the human component, and it focused on sweatshops, which is a term that some of your listeners may be familiar with. And basically, a sweatshop is a place where clothes are manufactured, and often workers are, you know, not paid very well, and that the conditions are quite terrible, and that they lack health benefits and access sometimes even to drinking water. We also studied another issue, which was the animal component, and we focused on the meat industry, talking about how animals are raised for food. And we also asked students to compare some of the images they may have of farms in their minds. And it was interesting. The students were in grades 10 and 11, and when we were talking about farms, a lot of them were saying how they had an image of, you know, cows roaming in the green pasture and a beautiful red barn and the serene type setting. And when we questioned them on, you know, where did these images come from, a lot of the students were saying that, you know, well, storybooks and television commercials, and they just had grown up with that image, so thought that that was the case. And then, of course, we introduced the concept of factory farming and talked about how some of those serene images that we picture in our minds about farms are, well, not true. And, in fact, that the modern farm is industrialized and animals suffer, obviously, as a result.
Yes.
And the third issue we tackled was the environment, and it's sort of a new topic that's becoming more and more apparent, is electronic waste, and it's also known as e-waste. And basically what that is you know, we're always buying new cell phones and computers and different electric gadgets, but what's happening is that it's creating a bit of a burden on our environment because we have to throw out all this outdated technology because we're constantly embracing new technology. And then the students were asked to think about the implications on that of, you know, our environment, of course, also affecting animals and the health of other people because some of these items are toxic and contain toxic chemicals.
Very, very important for students to know because, well, teenagers especially, because they're big shoppers, aren't they, in the Western world?
Absolutely, Marge, and you hit it right on the head. And that's sort of our target audience with this program, with Power of One, is that young people are the biggest consumers in society, that they have, you know, lots of disposable income, and some of them have part-time jobs or they get money from their parents, but they're constantly, they're buying clothes, they're buying food, they're buying entertainment. And this program sort of presents an opportunity for them to maybe think about the true cost of their items and not just what's on the price tag, but what maybe also went into that item. And, you know, maybe because a product is so cheap, well, it makes you wonder then where were the other costs absorbed, and were those costs animal cruelty or human suffering or environmental degradation? And so this program is a really great way to get students and young people to think about their choices and how they impact others.
Yeah, even the issue of packaging is a big one, isn't it?
Oh, it's ginormous, absolutely. And it's something that a lot of people don't give much thought to. They buy products and, yeah, it comes with all sorts of heavy packaging that's unnecessary. And, you know, and we look at ways and solutions to these issues, you know. So perhaps to cut back on some packaging that, you know, instead of going to buy a product and then getting a plastic bag, you know, we encourage people to maybe use cloth bags as an alternative to that.
That they use over and over again.
Absolutely, and or to buy maybe in bulk and something to that extent, and then have containers at home that you can put products in rather than going out buying a new container every time with the same product in it.
Do you get a very enthusiastic result from the students, a reaction from the students?
It's a mixed bag. We yesterday at Langley Secondary School, it was really exciting, and you can see the difference in age level, of course, and some of the younger students have a little bit of a harder time settling down, and taking the issue seriously, I think. But a lot of the older students, particularly the grade 11s, are really keen, and they're very savvy. They want to learn the truth. They're really interested in their choices, and this is something, again, that's completely relevant to them, you know, that they're, again, buying clothes, they're buying food. A lot of them eat fast food. So some of them find it quite fascinating to see the different side of an issue, because every day, you know, we're inundated with all kinds of messages. In fact, the average person sees over 3,000 marketing messages every day. So there's a lot of input coming in, and it's just really great to go into schools and balance that perspective with some of the other things that make up this issue as a whole.
Are you going to be visiting many schools in the Lower Mainland?
Yes, we. Well, it's a bit difficult because the school year is coming to an end next week. But we do have quite a few ESL schools lined up, and we've also had an interest from UBC. There is a program, an ethics course at UBC, and we've been contacted by the professor there who's interested in bringing us in the classroom and talking to student teachers about some of these concepts and how they might be able to bring some of these teaching tools into their classroom. So the scope of this program is just ever expanding, and the interest in it is overwhelming. The Vancouver Sun ran a story on the program a few days ago. Yesterday, when we were presenting at the Langley Secondary School, the community paper was there as well. And again, we're on your program, so the media is definitely interested, and the community is very supportive. We've got great comments. One of the things we like to do in the program is collect evaluations after our presentations to get feedback from the students, you know, what they liked and what they didn't like, and we ask the teachers for feedback as well. And just going over some of those forms today, I can't tell you how satisfying it is to, you know, read comments from these students saying, you know, thank you, I never thought about, you know, where my food comes from before.
That must be really satisfying.
It's very satisfying, and you know, you made a little bit of a difference, and you never know what will eventually come out of that, and ultimately that's their own choice, and that's something that we can't impose on them. But to encourage critical thinking and just to get them to think and stop for a minute, and perhaps maybe we're just planting a seed that, you know, they'll grow and develop as they become older.
Yeah, well, certainly a worthwhile seed to plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you have a big event coming up.
We do.
Would you tell us about that?
I would love to. On June 21st, so next Wednesday, we're very excited because we're launching our first ever online auction. And we've got all kinds of wonderful items up for bid. All of the items were donated, so every cent we raise from the auction will go to support the Power of One Humane Education program at the Vancouver Humane Society. So just give your listeners a little sample of some of the things we've got up for bid just to tantalize them. We've got a gorgeous weekend getaway, and it's a yoga and vegetarian retreat, and it will be located at the Paradise Found Yoga Retreat on Salt Spring Island. So it's a 3-day and 4-night retreat for 2 adults.
Wonderful.
And it's just gorgeous. We also have some day trips, such as skydiving, whale watching, whitewater rafting. We also have a private chef in your home. Imagine the possibilities of that, Marge. You have a wonderful woman who specializes in organic cooking and vegetarian and vegan cooking, comes to your home. Mm. She does the shopping, she does all the cooking, and presents you with a 3-course meal and does the cleaning, and you just sit there and enjoy.
What a prize.
Definitely a prize. So we're going to have a lucky bidder. We'll win
marvelous.
That one.
Wouldn't that be? And you'd even learn.
Oh, you definitely. And her name is Vivian Allen, and she's very active, actually, in the community and does a lot of cooking classes. And she's just a chef and quite amazing. So she's donated her services for the auction. We also have some fabulous artwork by local Canadian artists with different wildlife prints. So the perfect addition for any animal lover's home. And we've got all kinds of tickets for theater shows and comedy shows. We've got tickets for the Vancouver Whitecaps and for Playland for the amusement park. We've got magazine subscriptions, skincare kits, gift packs. We've got a gorgeous basket for any dog lover out there. It's just absolutely beautiful with all kinds of grooming and treats and all kinds of different supplies. And
sounds terrific.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming.
No doubt that's part of your work, too, collecting all of those prizes.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. And, there's also a weekend getaway in Whistler. We've got the Rocky Mountaineer Rail Trip for two, and you'll be staying at the Hilton Whistler Resort and Spa, and that'll be for two nights. And
that's enough, Leslie.
I get so excited.
We all be drooling over these things.
Prizes.
Now, so how does one get involved in the auction?
Sure. So if you want to learn more or see some of the other prizes up for bid, you can go to itstartswithone.org.
One.org, I see.
Itstartswithone.org, yes. And the auction runs from June 21st to the 28th, and all the proceeds benefit the Vancouver Humane Society's Humane Education Program, Power of One.
All right, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Leslie.
Oh, you're very welcome. Sounds Thank you
really
so very exciting. Much.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, do we have someone else on the line now, Ellen? We have Jan Olson, Jan Olson is part of the Coalition for No Whales in Captivity, and she is an organizer for an event that will be taking place on this weekend. Hello, Jan. Are you there?
I am, Marge. Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome indeed. It's our pleasure. Now, will you tell us what's coming up, Jane, and why? Please?
Okay, sorry. I know it's
Jan,
it seems to
I'm
be
sorry.
Jane, but it is Jan.
Yeah.
And yes, we are. We're going to join the aquarium in their 50th anniversary celebration, but we are not going there to celebrate. We're going there to protest, in fact, the celebration. We just, in our opinion, there's nothing here to celebrate when the aquarium has basically achieved 50 years of inflicting suffering and premature death on numerous whales and dolphins. It's a cruelty that's pretty much inherent in keeping these highly intelligent animals captive in small pools and forcing them to spend their lives swimming in endless circles. We just object to the whole idea that we need to keep animals in captivity for any reason, not for education, not for entertainment, for any reason. It isn't moral, it isn't humane, and it isn't right.
All right, so I think you get a lot of people agreeing with you, certainly in our listening audience.
Yes.
And it's been a long battle, hasn't it?
It's a very long battle. I mean, the fiery fact that they are now planning to expand the aquarium, and we'll fully expect that they're going to continue to have enough people come to justify this massive expense that they are going to undergo. And I understand that I am speaking to a converted audience, an audience that already believes what I'm saying. But what I'm asking that would help is that people who care about animals and care about animal suffering, it isn't really enough that people care. And it isn't enough that people even stay away and don't attend the aquarium or zoos or rodeos or circuses. It matters that people come out and voice their objection, because the aquarium is going to have hundreds and hundreds of people out on Sunday to celebrate their 50th anniversary. Right now we have only 13 people committed to coming out to say this is wrong. And if you care about animals, it means that your caring has to have an impact. It has to be that your caring has a difference than people who don't care. Because if you don't care and you don't come out, what's the difference if you care and you don't come out? So we're just asking that if people really do care and object to whales and dolphins being kept in captivity, that they please come out and join us on Sunday in front of the aquarium at 10 o'clock. We have plenty of posters and banners. Nobody has to bring anything. Just bring themselves, their enthusiasm and their passion and their objection to these animals suffering.
Now, is this celebration going on for hours? Or
no, in fact, it will be very short. In fact, the parade is basically a parade and then I think a short little cake-serving ceremony after. The parade starts at 11. We would like people to come around 10 and join us in protesting the aquarium itself, and then we are going to protest the parade as well. The parade will be probably very short, less than an hour.
So it's through only the park?
Is that through the park? A two-hour commitment for people to come out.
Oh, yeah, so the parade will be right in the park, I guess.
The parade will be in Stanley Park. It's, uh-huh. It's not going to be a long parade. In fact, the aquarium has invited the public to join them in the parade. You can dress up in costumes and come and enter the parade. So people could come and do that and just tell and let people know that there is an objection to this. So this isn't one side that if we don't have anyone protesting about it, then they're going to get the impression that everybody is for this the aquarium continuing to not only keep whales and dolphins in captivity, but with the expansion, increase the number. They want to increase. They want to get in two more whales and three more dolphins.
So the protesters could actually carry picket signs in the parade.
They've opened the door to the public entering the parade. So I see no reason why we couldn't do that. But right now we're just planning on picketing, protesting at the aquarium and at the parade itself, and hoping that we can get enough people coming out and joining us. We have lots and lots of posters and banners. If we could have as many people that could come as possible, we would have everybody holding a poster or a banner and chanting that this is wrong.
It's not just the issue of the whales alone, is it? It's the issue of the park itself now.
Exactly. This is a public. This is the park. The aquarium is on public land, and now they have taken away any public input that we could have had to prevent both the continuing captivity of whales and dolphins and the expansion of the aquarium. There was a referendum that it was going to be held in 2008 for the public to vote on whether or not they wanted to see the continuation of whales and dolphins in captivity, and the new MPA Parks Board squashed that referendum at the aquarium's request, and they also quashed the referendum that required a vote from the public to decide whether or not the aquarium should expand into their own public land. And that referendum has been squashed. So now the public has no input on what the aquarium can do.
And the Parks Board does have a person from the aquarium.
On the board, yes.
On the board.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Basically, it seems to us, when we were at a Parks Board meeting stating our case, every single person who was from the public at that meeting was against the aquarium expansion. The people that were representing the aquarium were, of course, for the expansion, and yet the Parks Board, who is our public servants and voting about what's being done with public land, voted for the aquarium. And it's very upsetting.
It wasn't 100% vote for the aquarium.
No, it was not, but it was a squeaky win. That's right. It was not 100%.
I see. So this is a really important one to get the people out, isn't
it? We're hoping.
I know you had a lot of other meetings that you have got a lot of people out, well, just like the one you're mentioning, when probably everybody at the meeting.
Yes, we had lots and lots. If we could get just as many people at a meeting as a protest, we'd be very happy.
Yes, yeah. So that everybody out on Saturday?
No, it's Sunday.
Sunday the 18th.
Correct, at 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock.
In front of the aquarium.
Okay,
yeah.
And be prepared to stick up for the whales.
Absolutely.
Okay, that sounds like a really good mission.
It is a good mission. Yeah. If you have the time, I would just like to address one issue that the aquarium loves to stand behind. They love to tout themselves as an educational facility and justify its imprisonment of whales and dolphins by saying that you're learning a lot about whales and dolphins in captivity. But I have to question what can possibly be learned by watching a whale or a dolphin swimming around in endless circles in a pool? They are unable to engage in a single natural behavior. It may as well be looking at a photo on the wall. And it's not necessary to look at animals to learn about them anyway. You can use the example of dinosaurs now, where kids know more about dinosaurs, how they lived and what they looked like and when they lived, than they do about a lot of the living animals today.
Absolutely.
And they've never seen one.
And they're so enthusiastic about dinosaurs.
Exactly. You don't have to torture animals by forcing them to live in captivity in order to learn about them or in order to care about them.
No, and imagine the animal's mental state. Swimming endlessly around in circles.
Absolutely. Well, we have all seen perhaps videos of that poor orca that was trying desperately to get the grate open at the bottom of its pool because it had determined that might be the only way it could possibly get out.
How sad.
I mean, it breaks your heart to think how insanely they must be desperately wanting to get back into the ocean.
Absolutely, and the ocean is just a stone's throw away.
Isn't it? They must be able to smell it.
I couldn't, when Beosa was being taken off down to California, I could have cried thinking about that poor creature.
It's incredibly sad.
Dying, and here we were out parading, of course, again, demonstrating. And I thought, gosh, if only we could have had a vehicle just to take her down to the inlet, you know.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm. You know, people that go to an aquarium or a zoo or a rodeo or a circus, they must believe, they have to believe, either they do not care about animal suffering at all, or they have to believe that their right, their desire to be entertained is greater than that animal's right to live free of suffering, to live free, period.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this, Jan. I really appreciate it. You're fighting a tough battle, and I'm right with you. I hope
Thank
to see you on
much.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Now, Ellen, maybe we could have a spot of music, please.
And this is CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver.
Co-op Radio.
Won't you please take my friends on a wild, happy ride through that open countryside where it's so good to be alive. Where the ocean meets the sand in our green, rainy land. Take this woman and this man for a wild, happy ride. Well, if anyone's to blame, it's old Saddam Hussein. They met at a peace dance in the war. They built a little shack with the forest just out back, and that's where they learned what love is for. Whoa, won't you please take my friends on a wild, happy ride through that open countryside where it's so good to be alive. Where the ocean meets the sand in our green, rainy land. Take this woman and this man for a wild, happy ride. Well, someone said to me, hey, life ain't just easy. There's ups and downs and things that can go wrong. Now, there's wars, disease, and death, credit cards, and morning breath. Those nights the playoffs won't come in on your TV. Oh, won't you please take my friends on a wild, happy ride through that open countryside where it's so good to be alive. Where the ocean meets the sand in our green, rainy land. Take this woman and this man for a wild, happy ride. In old times we roamed the land, hunter-gatherer clans. We shared the jobs and joys of this good life. Now we're your family and your close community. You should always call on us when you need help. Whoa, won't you please take my friends on a wild, happy ride through that open countryside where it's so good to be alive. Where the ocean meets the sand in our green, rainy land. Take this woman and this man for a wild, happy ride. May you have so many friends, may your laughter never end. May the rising river never reach your house. May you dance all night long to that sweet romantic song. May you always have a crush upon your spouse. Oh, won't you please take my friends on a wild, happy ride through that open countryside where it's so good to be alive. Where the ocean meets the sand in our green, rainy land. Take this woman and this man for a wild, happy ride. Oh, won't you please take my friends for a wild, happy ride through that open countryside where it's so good to be alive. Where the ocean meets the sand. Happy ride. Take this woman and this man for a wild, happy ride.
Welcome back to Animal Voices, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, cooperative radio, community-based. And my name is John Pranger. There have been more than 150, in fact, 160 deaths in North America as the claims of safety come under fire as taser-related death toll mounts. Robert Bagnell was the seventh Canadian to die after being shot by a taser by police in Vancouver, British Columbia. And Robert was unarmed and posed no credible threat to police or anyone. He was surrounded by five police officers in a small bathroom in a Granville Street hotel and shot twice with a taser. He was 44 years old. His sister, Patty Gilman, has made this statement: shocking, more pigs will only add their numbers, that is to say, animals, not cops. Shocking, more pigs in experiments will only add their numbers to the taser-related death statistics. She doesn't believe any more animals of any kind should be hurt and or killed to justify the further use of these potentially deadly weapons and to advance Taser International's financial interests and dubious claims of safety. And the families of Ryan Snowpeck and of Ian Bush, Kylie Tate, Kevin St. Arnaud, and Gerald Chainery and Robert Bagnell, all of whom died at the hands of British Columbia police officers since 2004, continue their long, arduous, and painful wait for some form of justice. Robert died in June of 2004, but still, as far as I know, no scheduled coroner's inquest into his death as of December. Now, I phoned the chief coroner's office this afternoon, but he wasn't in, so I left a message, and perhaps we can clear that up, and I'll get back to you about that. 18 months after his death, Regional Crown Council of the Criminal Justice Branch, Ministry of the Attorney General, came out with a statement that no charges will be approved for prosecution. And we have on the line Laura Yanni. Is this another case of animal experiments being used as a political football and to serve as an alibi function for companies and corporations who want to have their products assessed as safe when in fact they're not?
It certainly does appear that way. In fact, first of all, I'd like to say that no truer words were spoken than those by poor Patty Gilman, whose brother died. I'm so sorry about that, and she's so brave to speak out in defense of animals and in defense of her brother.
Yes.
It's really a great shame. And I just attended the Taser International shareholder meeting. PETA is, we're shareholders there, and I asked directly a board member there, when are you going to stop these animal tests and why are you still doing them when clearly they're not making your weapons any safer? And I was told that they were doing these tests for protection in lawsuits.
Wow, so, really? They've admitted that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems to be their only function then, and they have a legal reality, but there's no scientific reliability to
no,
them at all.
No, indeed. That is quite true. And it's never been as clear as it is right now. PETA has been protesting the experiments at the University of Wisconsin in Madison for the last, 18 months. And we have pointed out the error of their ways in that pigs are quadrupeds, not bipeds. There are huge physiological differences between our species. And the experimenter, Webster, actually emailed me admitting that we know the difference. Now that we know the differences between pigs and humans, we've changed our mind about taser safety. They had fully expected to find that they were safe and prove their hypothesis that, tasers are safe. They're not safe. And what they did was they peeled the layers of fat and muscle away from the pig's heart to approximate the thickness of the human tissue, you see.
Sounds
how crude it is.
Sounds like a pretty heavy procedure.
Oh, indeed, yes. And yep. These animals, I must say, they were anesthetized, but they were still alive. And it's just look what you have to go through in order to remotely approximate a human-like condition, and it's such a far cry from what happens in reality. There's human data available. They should be using that.
So these 150 or 160 deaths, I've read the two figures. I'm not sure mm-hmm. which is the better figure. They're ignored in favor of these idiotic experiments on pigs and dogs, I understand, have also been
yes.
used, as well as bovines.
Yes, yes. You can see the bull being tasered on the Taser International website. And the
really?
Yeah. The National Animal Control Association here in the U.S., has come out with a statement on their website saying that tasers are not appropriate for use on animals. So what were they doing? You know, it's terrible. And worse, if you can imagine, were the U.S. Air Force experiments on pigs. They were conscious animals, and they were shocked for 15 seconds at a time.
This is Department of Defense has gotten into the act, eh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, tasers are being used heavily by the military.
And
yes.
15
and
seconds is an awfully long time.
Oh, yes, it is. And most people who've been tasered for the standard 2 to 5 seconds don't want it again.
Yeah.
So you can imagine. And then it's not as if it's 15 seconds and then that's it. The poor things were brought in repeatedly to the shocking chamber, so they knew what was going to happen to them, and they were clambering to get out. They were climbing the walls. A pig climbing the walls is not a normal thing. They'd been food deprived for up to 48 hours before, and they wouldn't approach their food dishes because they knew what was going to happen to them. So it's just the most ghastly thing you can imagine. You can see it. We posted it on our website.
You have a video there, do you?
Yes, yeah. We have. If
and I understand that
PETA.
The... I'm sorry, PETA.org. Thanks.
Yes.
I understand that the audio is missing.
It is missing. We had a heck of a time getting the video in the first place. They did not want to hand it over. And subsequently, we FOIA'd the emails pertaining to anything to do with Taser, and we saw just how resistant they were to handing it over. Finally, we appealed, and we didn't care who was doing the actual tasering. That was pretty clear from other reports. We knew who the people were. We don't it's immaterial to have them depicted in the act. We know who they are. But they still have not handed over the audio, which we know must have been taken at the time, because if you've ever heard a pig scream, it's just ghastly.
Well, they call it loud vocalizations, which is
yes.
a quite a different term from screaming, which I believe is a far more appropriate term.
Yes.
Now, this gentleman, Professor John Webster, has ripped off the taxpayer for $500,000 to conduct
yes.
this lunacy.
Yes.
Grant provided by the U.S. Department of Justice, who then
yes.
obviously don't know any better than this man what justice really is all about. How does he conduct his experiments? What sort of things does he do?
He does anesthetize them, and he lays them on their backs. And as we've learned, he did cut them open. He made incisions and peeled back the layers of fat and muscle to approximate human thickness, and he applied the shock directly to the heart.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And electrodes on the skin
exactly.
and catheters near the heart to measure the
yes.
effects.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he writes up his report, and it goes into the dustbin. But except that, of course, these people are using it as an alibi. And even the CEO of the company, Taser International, got involved. Can you tell me about that, please?
Yes, yes. They, for a start, they tried to insinuate themselves onto the experiment by having their own medical director apply for a consultant position. And he did that, and he just left out the fact that he was Taser's medical director on his CV, if you can believe it. And when we got the protocol, we saw that this rather important fact was missing, and we yelled and screamed and said, this is not an independent study. He must not be on that study because he has a vested interest in seeing how this experiment turns out.
And then it turns out that Wayne McDaniel and Mark Nierheim, the other two stars of this scene, are also in conflict of interest. Is that right?
Indeed. That is true. Mm-hmm. And I just have to mention that the Air Force video that I've mentioned where they did the horrible experiments on conscious pigs, these guys were all, they were at, the Taser guys were at four meetings at the Air Force. So even though they weren't, they were just involved. They're involved in all the experiments. They just cannot keep their fingers off. And the minute that Webster posted his abstract that came out with the rather surprising result that he could induce ventricular fibrillation, that is cardiac arrest, in the pig's heart, all of a sudden he wasn't Taser's best friend anymore. So that was actually rather interesting, because what that did was it made Taser come out immediately, just days afterwards, with their own results of an experiment that they'd been conducting at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, where they funded an experiment where they dosed the pigs with cocaine, then tasered them. And guess what their determination was? That you're actually, of course, no ventricular fibrillation. In fact, they claimed that being on coke and being tasered increases the taser's safety margin. So if you do drugs and get tasered, you're better off. That
so
was
if you're going to get tasered, you better do some cocaine.
Yes. Is that not preposterous?
Yeah. And
so you see, you have two animal experiments with contradictory results.
Yeah. And 150 clinical deaths.
Yes.
To prove that on humans, it's certainly unsafe.
Yes.
And yet that is ignored.
Yes.
And, it's such a rat's nest of corruption. It's unbelievable.
Indeed. Indeed. It truly is. It's appalling to think that with the tasers already out there being used, that they hadn't gathered data earlier on. Now they're beginning to, I must say. They are. They're still continuing with animal tests. I asked the board member there at the shareholder meeting what their plans were, and I was told that they wanted to test methamphetamines and on taser victims. And I said, when is it going to stop? What about combinations of drugs? What about a drug-addicted person versus a drug-dosed person? And forget the fact that it's a whole other species. You know, the whole thing is so absurd.
Now, it's 50,000 volts, which is no cat's egg.
Right.
And excruciating pain, even for 1 second, as reported by a reporter.
Yes.
Is that right? Why not take his testimony?
Well, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Now, tell me about Professor Terry Young, would you?
Yes, I would be delighted to. What a brave woman she is. Mm. She is a professor at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and she has a cohort of women whom she'd been studying for sleep studies. She just does experiments using human data. And so Webster wanted to use her in a study, also using her cohort of women. Yet when she found out what he was doing to the pigs, she was so appalled that she withdrew from partnership with him on this grant-funded study. She just didn't want to have anything to do with such a man.
And came out in protest.
She did. She did. We're terribly proud of her. She's a brave woman, and if only more people would be that brave.
Now, I'm amazed that this taser can be sold to anyone. It's a self-defense device, not a firearm, so anybody can own one.
That's That's true.
Amazing. Now, with compressed nitrogen, this shoots a couple of probes up to 15 feet and it's connected to the weapon by high-voltage insulated wire. And so you get these powerful electrical impulses along the wires that go right into the body. It incapacitates a person faster than a 9-millimeter handgun.
Yes.
And it seems to me that 50,000 volts is no joke.
It's no joke. And all
so
you
these,
have to
these
do
deaths are all quite credibly apportioned to this very weapon.
Right.
And yet the Justice Department will not look into it, will not conduct the coroner will not do an autopsy, I understand.
Well, what they're doing is, if this just came out a day or two ago, that the Department of Justice, the same people who funded Webster's study, are recommending a review, and they are asking the police departments to help, and you know, that's what they should have done before they ever funded these ridiculous animal studies.
Yeah, and now Rick Smith, who's the CEO of Taser International, he did this in a garage in his own home, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. So these amateurs are shocking pigs trying to get some sort of scientific result without any kind of sanction by the regulatory agency. So this is a crime.
Yes.
And what is being done about that?
Well, we've complained to the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they claim they're now investigating. It's been handed up. So we don't know. It's been going on a while. These things do take time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great problems that we have.
Oh, sure.
By the time we get information, it's too late.
Well, the establishment is the enemy of the enterprise, usually.
Yeah.
You know, the second experiment took place several months later at a horse facility, whatever that is. So they're doing it on horses as well.
Well, actually, no, they used pigs, but they were in a horse facility.
Oh, I see.
That's what happened there. And, Stratbucker, the infamous medical director there who likes to obfuscate his true identity, he was doing pigs in his farm in Nebraska. And they've admitted all this in court testimony. These guys have been dragged into court a lot, but the cases have either been settled or dismissed thus far.
Well, researchers are kind of a god in our society, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. This is true. They're very, very, very well funded.
Anything that we can do, our audience, can we go to some websites? Can we protest? Can we write to people?
Yes, I would. Oh, that would be great. If you could go to www.peta.org and type in tasers, it'll tell the whole story about Webster's experiments, the Air Force experiments. You can see the horrible video, and there are addresses there that you could write to, and it would be so wonderful if your listeners would do that, because Schmidt, the NIJ acting director, has said that we're getting lots of letters, but we need more letters because they haven't promised that they won't fund anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so great. www.peta.org.
And people can phone the chief coroner of Vancouver, too, at 604-660-7753 and see what's happened to the, what was his name? Robert Bagnell.
Bagnell, yes.
Yes. Well, thanks very much, Laura, for coming on the show. Your organization does great work, and you've given us the story in great detail, and thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye now.
Okay. Bye.
Laura Yanni Yan is her name, actually, is a spokesperson for PETA. And you can go to their website at PETA.org. My name is John Pranger.
Well, thank you for that, John. Most interesting interview. Now, I'm just a little unclear on the number of minutes we have left. Do we have time for a story? Or okay, we can do a very short one.
Sure.
This is about birds and their service to humans in this case. And it's by Dorothy Weiss. One night I awoke to a cacophony of sound. Birds were twittering, chirping, and fluttering incessantly outside our house. I was familiar with their noisy chatter at dawn, when the first rays of sun spread gloriously across the sky and filtered through our curtained windows, creating a miniature rainbow inside our house. But now the birds were calling while it was still dark. Through sleep-laden eyes, I could barely see the time on my clock radio. It was only 2 a.m., so I tried to go back to sleep. But what a din. The sound did not abate. The bird calls and shrieks built to a crescendo, like a pulsating alarm. Finally, I got up, thinking I might as well watch television since I couldn't sleep anyway. As I entered the living room, I saw a flickering yellow-orange light coming from our patio and swimming pool area. My immediate reaction was that there must be a fire. I called my husband and said, "Come quick, something is burning outside." Together we ran into our backyard. There we found candles burning dangerously close to the napkins and tablecloth on our outdoor table. I had forgotten to extinguish them after serving a sentimental old-fashioned dinner by candlelight. It hadn't become a fire yet, but a blaze could soon be started. We would have been fast asleep, practically unconscious, hearing and seeing nothing. Alerted by the birds, we now walked through the house. We asked ourselves, what else did we leave undone? We discovered that the front door was unlocked, and windows in both the bathroom and kitchen had been left wide open. We usually locked the doors and closed the windows at night. After the house was secure and the candles properly snuffed out, the birds immediately fell silent. I remember reading somewhere that divine spirit often gives us signals or warnings. On that night, I learned that even a sudden bird call might be a hint to pay attention to. We're glad we woke up and listened. As far as I'm concerned, the birds can sing any time they want, day or night. We welcome their serenade and all the other gifts we receive from our animal friends. That's a nice follow-up to that story we had last week about the dolphins alerting the woman to her danger because of the incoming waves.
What book are you reading from, Mark?
I'm reading from God's Messengers, What Animals Teach Us About the Divine. Beautiful thought, isn't it? So thank you for listening to Animal Voices, and we will be with you again next Friday at 12 noon. Please tune in. Bye-bye.